scripture lesson this morning is found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning at verse number 7. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning at verse number 7. Mark 6, verse 7. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. Commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, In what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till you depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed. Amen. I want to talk about heal the sick and cast out demons. I was reading a late theologian, Paul Tillich. He gave the commencement address to a seminary. These seminarians, I don't know, 30 or 40 of them, and he was giving them some advice as to what they were going to face when they went into ministry. He said the two most difficult problems that you're going to have to deal with when you become a pastor of some local church. The number one thing you're going to have to deal with as a minister is many people will say that they do not need to be healed. Many people will say, I'm all right. And they're really sick unto death. Second thing he said, you're going to have to deal with as a young pastor when you go out to a church. Many will laugh at you as somebody that's crazy when you say you're going to go out and cast out demons. Many people, you're a young pastor, you go and say, well, you know, I'm going to cast out demons. They're going to think that you are absurd. And you know, the older I get, the more I know that he's telling the truth. It's hard to help somebody who refuses to admit that they're sick. And I have come to realize and to recognize that there's several kinds of sickness. You can be physically sick when we send you to the doctor, but you also can be mentally sick. And you also can be spiritually sick. And if you are to be a whole person, you have to be well in all three. Do I have a witness? Not only do you have to be physically well, you need to be mentally well, and you need to be spiritually well. And if either one of those are out of sync, that means that you and I are sick. And we need healing. Do I have a witness? Very often, as you read the scripture, when Jesus ministers to people, and you know, in Jesus' day, in the biblical day, there was a correlation between sinfulness and sickness. In Jesus' day, you remember that text when the blind person, he's born blind, and they raised the question, well, who sinned? Was it his parents or was it him? And Jesus said, well, neither one of them. This kind is to show the power of God. But because he said this kind doesn't mean that there wasn't another kind. Some sickness is related to our sins. Do I have a witness?
Yes.
I mean, we can get sick without sinning, but some sickness is related to our sinfulness, and our sins catch up with us one way or another. How many of you know some sickness is related to guilt? Oh, maybe you don't know that, but let me help you out. Some sickness is related to guilt, and some sickness is related to shame. And you know, that arthritis that you have, it may not be something physical, it may be something mental. And that heart attack and that stroke and that whatever else that we have, it may not just be because you've been eating pork. And it may not be because what you've been eating, it may be related to what's been eating you. And me. And so the church has a responsibility to heal. I wish to God I'd preached this 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago. Maybe it would have changed somebody. And maybe, who knows? I'm not going there. I'm not God. I'm just Greg. But the point is, the church has a responsibility to heal and cast out demons. Now, I know you said, well, what are you talking about casting out? I ain't seen no demons. And that's the problem. We don't really recognize demons anymore. We got on this red. I don't know, maybe that. We think demons are, got these red suits on and horns. We don't recognize a demon. And when we see a demon, or we don't know what they look like, we do know what they act like. Demons, whatever God tries to put together, demon tries to say. Demons don't want us to have any inner peace. Demons don't want us to get any sleep. Demons want us to be tossed and driven. Demons want us to pretend like we are well. No, right. You know, one of the toughest things that any minister has to do, any pastor has to do, really any Christian has to do, is to talk to people who we know are sick and they act like they're not sick. Yeah. Or got demons and they act like they don't have no demons. And worse than all of that is, as a preacher, we ain't that clean ourselves. And we gotta go talk to unclean folk. So it's an unclean, sick, demonic possessed man or woman talking to another demon possessed man or woman in the name of God. And that's the key. In the name of God. When you think that you just going because you got a counseling degree, it ain't enough. It ain't enough just because you got an MBA in counseling or you got a PhD in psychiatric services. It ain't enough, because some of the demons we got, we need Jesus to set us free. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to set us free. I want to give you some help in terms of what modern day demons look like. Would that help anybody out? What a modern day demon looks like. First of all, before I go there, let's agree that some sickness is related to unconfessed sin. Let's agree there. That if you keep that stuff locked up inside of you, it can make you spiritually sick. Can we agree that? It can make you spiritually sick. And we need to find a way to release it so that we can have peace again. And one of the ways that a modern day demon looks like is resentment. When you resent somebody, it can internalize into anger. Better hear me. When you resent somebody so much, somebody has hurt you so bad, and you resent that person so bad, it internalizes to anger. And then sooner or later you act out of that anger, and you might hurt somebody because you think about it every single day. You go to bed with it. You wake up with it. You're so resentful, and you become so angry. Yeah. look at somebody and say, you gotta let it go. You got to let it go. You gotta find a way to let it go. And if you and I cannot do it by ourselves, we gotta take it to Jesus and we've gotta put it in his hand. We gotta let it go. Resentment that leads to anger can destroy your life. Then another way that a modern day demon looks like is revenge. Yeah. You want to know what a modern day demon looks like? They have a nice suit, drive a nice car, be well educated. But a modern day demon looks like revenge. When you decide that you're going to take revenge into your own hand, the Bible is right. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Just let that song we sing, let Jesus fix it. Let him fix it. It's more than a song. Revenge is what a modern day demon looks like. We've got to figure out a way to forgive. Got to figure out a way. I know it's not easy. Far be it from, you know, and I'm not here trying to make everything look so 1, 2, 3, so simple. I know it's more than I can possibly cover in 20 minutes or 25 minutes in a sermon. I'm not suggesting that it's simple, but I'm suggesting that it's possible. And I am suggesting that if we don't get control of these demons in our lives, and I'm suggesting, don't you and I come in here and dare to judge anybody else, because I got my demons and you got your demons, and if you don't control them, they'll destroy you too. That's the point. The point is, the church is a place of healing. The church is a place of forgiveness. The church is a place that we bring our burdens and ask Jesus to wash us. How's another demon look like? Lust can be a demon. If you don't control it, it can control you. Now, I don't know how you women deal with it, but I know about men. Men, I know we got a problem. We don't have a little problem, we got a big problem. And if you and I don't figure out a way to control that demon, it will get out of control and it will mess with your mind. It'll mess with your life and it'll destroy your... Can I get one man to say amen? And then, you know, I've been around enough women to know y'all got to deal with lust too. Oh, yes, you do. And today, we deal with lust 2 or 3 different ways. It's not just lust men against towards women or women against men. Now it's men against men. Woman against woman. I'm talking right now. This is week of AIDS and HIV and healing. And I just want you to know, we're not just talking about healing physically, but we're talking about healing for us. Oh God, I wish I had a crystal. A month ago. God, I wish I had. Just maybe. Just maybe we might have been able to. But since it's today, maybe we'll be able to help someone. Maybe be able to help myself. Nobody else. I'm feeling a little better right now. The church. We point to that scripture so many times about, oh no, it wasn't his mother's fault, it wasn't his father's fault, why he was blind, you know, because Jesus said, you know, this kind should be healed. And, you know, we don't really look at the other kind, because there is a relationship between sin and misery. But there also is a relationship between repentance and freedom. Can I get a witness on that? Come and clean.
before God of our sins and our sinfulness. And so the church of Jesus Christ. And I just like to say, I could be wrong. You know, sometimes you listen to people talk about the church. Sometimes I listen to people talk about Mount Olive. And I can take people talking about Mount Olive who are members, but I don't allow nobody who's not a member to talk. Not to me. You know, it's like talking about my wife, my kids, my mother. You know, you don't do it. Not to me. But I have a feeling that we are growing. I don't think we are as judgmental as we used to be. I think that we are becoming a forgiving, merciful, gracious, loving community that realize and recognize that we're all broken. And that we all stand in the need of God's amazing grace. And that realizes that if we can't get healing for the soul here, when? I mean, if you get sick, you know, you need brain surgery, you know to go to the doctor. At least I hope you do. And you know, if you get mentally ill, hopefully you're going to find your way to a psychologist, counselor somewhere. But you know, the little CP, the clinical pastoral education that I did when I was in seminary at the psychiatric center of the University of Rochester, Strong Memorial Hospital, and the people that I go in to see very often, when I go in to see somebody who had these mental problems, ultimately, it always came back to God. There'd be people who'd be struggling with God and religion and faith. What I'm suggesting is, we need healing and deliverance. I want to just say this, and I think I'm just about through. We'll see. I got to be. It's 9:25 more. We read this text, heal the sick and cast out demons. It as if they were two separate things. Look at somebody and say, it's the same thing. Say it's not heal the sick or cast out demons. If you know, if you got demons, you're sick. And you know, and if you're physically sick, sometimes, as I mentioned before, it's related to the fact of mental, psychological, spiritual issues that's manifesting itself in a heart attack. I need to say one other thing, and I think that would be it. I am not suggesting that healing is only possible in the church. In other words, I don't want you to think that I'm trying to tell you if you're physically ill, don't go to the doctor, just come to church. That's not what I'm saying. You know, people can hear all kinds of things. I am not suggesting that, you know, if you got a mental problem, just go to the pastor and let him pray for you or her pray for you. Because people can, you know, and I've had that here. I've had that since I have been here. I've had people come to me, you know, and they had some major mental issues. And they came to me and just, you know, just pray for me, pastor. And I pray for them and say, go see a psychiatrist. Yeah. Yeah. And they didn't want to go see a psychiatrist. Because they've been cultured in such a culture that says if you go for a counselor, and you're suggesting that you're crazy. And I'm suggesting that if you don't go to a counselor, you're crazy. That's what I'm trying to say. But they didn't get it. They wanted order to come to me because I got this robe on and for me to lay my, and I'm not poo-pooing that. Don't you misunderstand me. I'm not downgrading the power of prayer, and I'm not downgrading the power of deliverance, and I'm not downgrading that people can be set free through the movement of the Holy Spirit. I'm not downgrading that, but I am saying that sometimes it works that way, and sometimes there are some kinds that you need both. God help us if we're so religious that we think that all of our demons can be handled quietly and privately. Sometimes you got to go somewhere and let them demons be exercised. You can't just sneak up to the pastor's study and say, pray for me and fix it. Because we both be just messed up in the study. I'll be standing up there crying. And you'll go out just as messed up. Probably you'll go out more messed up because you will think that you got deliverance because I prayed for you. What you need is prayer, counseling, and medication. So that one day we won't be sitting in here because your demons got out of control. And I'll be sitting here thinking how I failed you. Standing here how I failed you and how the church failed you. Because I didn't have the strength to say to you, you are sick. And sometimes when you're sick, you need somebody with some courage. Am I right?
Yes.
You need a friend. With some courage at the same, Jackson, you're sick. You don't have to tell them they're crazy. You're sick. You need help. So here we are today. As a bunch of broken, sick people. I got some good news for you. There's a balm in Gilead.
Yes. Yes.
To heal the sick soul. What I can't cover, Lord knows I got my own issues. I can't cover it. But you come to the right place. That's healing for your soul. Through the blood of the Lamb of God. Takes away. Sit on it. Because Paul is alive and say, hallelujah! Highest praise. There's a bomb.